That is true. We are live at Torrey Pines. We are here for the Farmers Insurance Open in San Diego, broadcasting live, and I'm trying to get as many interesting interviews as I possibly can, running down a lot of people that ordinarily we would not see and can do so in person, including my next guest. He is a Golf Channel senior writer, a co-host of Morning Drive, and very importantly, Rex number 7. Rex Hoggard is my guest. Rex, after all these years, we finally come together. We do it in person. It is so good to see you. How are you?
I got to be honest with you. Looking forward to this so much for the last week ever since I heard about it. And then I walk up and I see Pat Perez walking away. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going on after Pat Perez.
That's a tough act to follow, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's your take on Pat? And in terms of a sport that usually does not have that kind of personality, that kind of swagger, anything about Pat Perez?
What amazes me about him, and he was on the telecast for the match last year in Vegas, and I was really curious to see how that was going to work out. Because he is outspoken. I mean, he's on a sodium pentothal drip. He doesn't have an unspoken thought. And you sit and you watch, and I listen to him. And actually, we talked about Tony Romo, how good he is in the booth. I think Pat is just as good when it comes to golf because he sees things that other announcers don't and other announcers won't talk about. And he was awesome at it.
He is awesome. He's an amazing personality. And I just had to remind him that he has a show on satellite where he does his best Pat impression. He came on my podcast and absolutely tore it up. And I just want to remind him, this is a different room. And he was fine. He was great. He's had to make sure that he knew where he was. Now, you've been a staple on this program over the years. Great to sit down. How's your life? How are things? How's the family? What's going on?
Everybody's good. Yeah, you and I were just talking. I'm glad my youngest son, he's 14. He's playing high school golf. And so he was excited about that. And that kind of came out of nowhere, which... So for a golfer, you don't want to, I didn't ever want to force my kids into it. And so it was so much fun because now I got someone to go to the range with. I don't have to make excuses to go play golf. And so everyone's good. It's going to be a busy year. 2 weeks in Hawaii to start the year, then you're back here. So it's going to be a different year on the PGA Tour, a lot of 2-3 week stretches. But it's going to be compact, and I think the fans are going to like it better.
Rex, number 7, joining us. All right, so I had Tony Finau on in the first hour. He's part of that group with Xander and Tiger. What do you make of that trio?
It's going to be entertaining. I mean, it's kind of the future of golf. My guess is Tiger lobbied for that, to be quite frank with you, because President's Cup captain this year, you got to think he's a Ryder Cup captain very, very soon in the future. And these are the guys that are going to be on his team. And he knows them. He got to know Tony, obviously, last year at the Ryder Cup a little bit better. But it'll give him an opportunity to see exactly what they can do and where their game is at right now. And the interesting thing is, after following Tiger now for 2 days out here, he's not going to be, both those guys are bombers. They're part of the new generation. And he's not going to be drawn into some sort of long drive contest. And in a weird way, I think it's actually going to help him because he's just going to realize, yeah, I'm not in that league. I'm going to play my game.
What a weird thought, right? I mean, you're right, but what a strange thing to say when you think about that. That he's not going to get drawn into a long bombing contest, Tiger.
I don't know that he ever did, but certainly at this stage in his life, at this stage in his career, after 4 back surgeries, he's not going to go out and start to try to do things that he just can't do. And I don't want to make it sound like he's plenty long enough off the tee. He's not in that category.
Hey, listen, it's like any other athlete. As you get older, you make adjustments in your game, what you can and can't do, and you find other ways to get it done. You mentioned the Ryder Cup. In your opinion, what makes a good Ryder Cup captain, and how do you think he would do with that job?
I had this conversation just a few weeks ago with some European players when they named Padre Harrington their captain for the next time around. And I thought Paul Casey had the best answer. And he goes, the captain is what that team needs. And by that, he meant that Thomas Bjorn, the European captain the last time around, he wasn't the same person as a captain as he had been for all those years as a player. Normally he was outspoken and kind of loud and kind of their version of Pat Perez we were just talking about. But as a captain, that team didn't need that. That team just needed someone to sit back and make sure all the pieces were in place and let them go out and play. And I think a good captain is what his team needs. And in this particular case, I think no one knows that better than Tiger Woods.
Rex Hoggard joining us here on location. Now, I had Xander on the show 2 weeks ago, and we talked about the career that he's had. He's part of that great class of 2011 that had one monster after another. What do you make of the class of players, that class, and how do you explain their success that they're having so early in their career?
I think we're going to continue to see that for all the reasons that Justin and Jordan and now Xander and all the rest of them have talked about. It's because when you come out on tour now, it's a conversation we had a few weeks ago with the Sony. When a guy like Stuart Sink joined the tour, all the great players were the older guys, whereas now it's completely flipped. The vast majority of great players are younger guys, and I think that's because of what they do now in junior golf and high school golf and college golf. They play better courses. They're better conditioned. They have swing coaches. They have all the equipment they need. So when they show up on tour, they don't need to make any adjustments, maybe like guys had to do back in the Tiger Woods era.
It's funny, Rex, I don't want to get drawn into this. I don't want to get sucked into it's only Tiger, because it's not only about Tiger. There's so many great players on tour and so many great personalities, but it's hard not to get sucked into it. So let me ask you, what kind of a schedule do you expect him to play this year, and do you think he's got a major in him still?
I do think he has a major. Now, everything has to fall into place, as we saw last year. I mean, he put himself right in the hunt at the Open and the PGA, and there's always going to be a guy that challenges you. On those 2 weeks, Brooks Koepka wasn't going to be beat at the PGA Championship. But if you look at where his game's at right now, and I think the way he's going to do his schedule, he's always very secretive, but I think he gave a little bit away. He was asked about Phil not playing this week, and he said, look, everybody's going to have to make adjustments, including himself, Tiger. And I think what we're going to end up seeing is not nearly as many events as last year. You're not going to see those 2-, 3-, 4-week runs like he had specifically at the end of the season, because everything now is going to be geared towards those majors. It was great winning the Tour Championship. It was a seminal moment in his career, but he still thinks number 15 is out there for him.
So what do you think other golfers in the field think about Tiger and where he is right now? What would they say?
For so long, it was a curiosity, especially for the younger players. They didn't know it. They'd never seen that guy at his best. And I think Eastlake was an eye-opening experience for everyone, but more so for the players, because now all of a sudden they saw what he does when he's at his best, which is play prevent defense. And that's what he did at Eastlake. He made them come after him. And I think it was a good learning experience. And it's funny, you know, that you asked for this. If Ernie Els was sitting here and he heard a younger player say, yeah, I want to play Tiger at his best, Ernie would laugh. No, you don't. You don't want
right.
that.
They don't know what they're saying.
Exactly. And I think what you're going to end up with is these younger players get more and more of a taste of this. I don't know that that Tiger aura ever comes back where he intimidates guys just standing on the first tee. But I think if he continues at this pace, we'll see where guys start keeping an eye on the leaderboard at the very least.
Rex 7, Rex Harvard joining us, breaking it all down. One guy we have not talked about yet is Jordan Spieth. Now, he missed the cut at the Sony in Hawaii, and while he said it was a learning experience, he also said, quote, I'm tired of learning experiences, end quote. What do you make of the way he looked in Hawaii?
He did not look happy, and I think I saw someone on Twitter say it best that Jordan's not very good at looking happy when he's not playing well on the golf course.
Great line.
And that's the honest-to-God truth. And, look, we want to fixate on the putting, and everyone is kind of taking their opinions on whether if he had the yips or not. I do not think so. He led the field on Friday in strokes game putting. Guys with yips don't do that. However, having followed him for those two rounds, having followed him yesterday when he played with Tiger, his iron game's off. It's going to take a little while, but it always boils down to the putting. That's how he was able to do what he did for all those years, and he's going to have to find a way to make those 10-footers automatic again like they were.
So if you had to guess, do you think it's how much of it's technical and then how much of it's mental?
I don't think it's technical. I don't think it's ever technical when it comes to Jordan Spieth. I mean, you can't explain what he was able to do for all that time on the greens with technical things. You can't sit there and say these are the things you need to do. I think he needs to get back to feeling that freedom again and just looking at the lines. I think Ben Crenshaw said it best. When he was putting his best, he actually saw train tracks and could smell the smoke of the train.
Well, that's incredible.
Yeah, right. And I think the great putters are all about feel. I mean, look, Tiger tinkers with his putting all the time, but it's still the same stroke that it was back in 1997.
Yeah, the whole yips thing, it's like so taboo, right? Guys don't even want to talk about it. But, like, can you even explain it? Like, how do you fall into it, and then how do you get out of it?
You can't be loose with that word, and I think we've gotten right. a little too loose with it, to be honest with you. And you've seen guys...
Explain what you mean by that.
Well...
How are we too loose with it?
Well, I don't think... And well, in Jordan's case, I would say that maybe we're a little too loose with that. And I saw it even with Tiger Woods. There was a time when everyone seemed to think he had the yips with his chipping.
Chip yips.
And I don't think you come out of that. I've seen too many players not come out of that to say that, oh, well, he had him for this 12-month period, and now he's better on the other side. I don't buy that. I think maybe he struggled with his technique at that point of time, which I think probably Jordan's struggling right now with his technique, because there's no way you can have the yips. I've seen it ruin too many guys' careers.
All right, so one of the rule changes this year is guys are allowed to putt with the flag stick in. From a purely visual standpoint, what's it like seeing guys putting with the stick in? Are you used to that yet?
It's not a good look.
It's not, right?
No, it's not a good look. And the best,
at all.
And the best was Adam Scott, because he said in Hawaii when we asked him about it, and he said, every putty's going to putt with the flag in. And we said, well, what about an 8-footer on the 72nd green at the Masters?
Right.
And he goes, look, I've done things unconventional. I don't care how they look if I think it's going to let me win. What I'm going to find fascinating is the USGA and the RNA did this for pace of play. That's it. And for you and I, if we go out, if we leave the flag stick in, we are going to pick up a little bit of time. It is easier. I've done it. It speeds up play. For these guys, you have Bryson DeChambeau and Adam Scott and others who have seen it as a competitive advantage. And that's not what the rulemakers intended at all. And I think if we get to the end of this season and Bryson DeChambeau has kept it in on every putt and he's leading the tour in strokes, game putting, I think then they're going to take a closer look at it, regardless of the optics. No, it doesn't look great. They did not intend this to be a competitive advantage.
But will there be guys who leave it in no matter what?
Bryson did. I mean, he did for the first 2 weeks of the season. And it creates an awkward situation when you have one guy who's paired with Dustin Johnson, and he wants it out, and one guy wants it in. And it's kind of awkward. It doesn't look good. There's going to be times, again, if the guy leaves it in on the 18th hole at Augusta, then we're going to have some problems.
Rex Harder joining us. It's a weird, weird look. All right, so also the knee-height drop rule. What do you make of that so far, and what do the players make of that rule?
Again, not a good look to see a guy curtsying. I mean, we can't come up with a good idea. It's funny, I was jokingly saying to guys, I can't show you visually, but it's kind of like a proposal. It's sort of how the USGA wants you to do it, where you go down on one knee. And I told a couple of guys that, and they're just shaking their heads. And the problem is going to be is, and we've already seen it the first 3 weeks of the season, guys are so accustomed to going to shoulder height that it's immediately that's where they're going to go to. And you're going to end up redropping, and it's going to create issues. Now, 6 months from now, we're probably not talking about it, but I've seen some ugly drops. And, again, not a good look.
Rex Hoggard is my guest. Rex, aside from Tiger and Spieth, what are some of the other storylines that you're interested in seeing and how they play out this year?
Well, Jason Day, I mean, the defending champion here, he spoke with the media yesterday. I mean, he certainly has all the tools in place. We've seen him get to number one in the world. We've seen him win majors. And as well as he putts, he really broke it down during the offseason of what he needed to get better at, and that was his iron play. And he said yesterday if he can hit 70% of his greens in regulation for the season, he feels like he can get back to that dominant time frame. And I just don't know. This will be a good week for him because it's a challenging golf course, and you do have to control your golf ball. And as you get further into the, you know, into the regular season, but again, the competition is so hard now, he's going to have to do better.
All right, so we'll see this week, and we'll have a better idea. But how close do you think he is to being that guy who's right in the hunt for every major the way he used to be?
I think at that level, he's very close. And again, this is just a matter of percentages. Last year, he hit 65.2% of his fairways. This year, if he hits 70, he feels like he can be dominant. So the difference between 12th in the world and 1st in the world is 5 percentage points. I mean, if you want to break it down that way. I mean, it is a very finite amount of time. But again, you have so many players, Justin Rose and Dustin Johnson, all of these players that you need to contend with. I think it's going to be hard for anyone to be that dominant for a prolonged period of time.
All right, so who do you like this week?
John Rahm actually is a name that keeps propping up. I mean, he obviously he's won here before. He seems to do all the things you need to do well in this golf course, particularly off the tee. I mean, and he's bold. You see it. We just talked about the younger players. He has no fear whatsoever when it comes. He doesn't see rough or bunkers or water hazards or whatever the case may be. He just wants to hit the driver as hard as he can, and that's a good combination here.
You know, he was on the show recently for the first time, Rex. I'd never spoken to him before. I could not be more impressed. I mean, watching him from afar, obviously I've got great respect for his game. But for him to come here and then go to college the way he learned a second language and deal with everything he's dealt with, I could not be more impressed with him as a guy and a player. You?
He's an amazing athlete, first and foremost. I think he could have probably played any sport. But he told a story last year in December about pulling Tiger Woods in Sunday singles. And we were just talking about this. And everyone wanted it. And then his name came up, and he said, I didn't sleep that night. I was so nervous. And Thomas Bjorn, going back to the captain, he kind of put it as simple as he could. And it's, look, you just need to go out and play as well as you can. Forget about who's on the other side. Don't try to compete with him. Just try to beat the golf course.
Rex Hoggard, right on cue. Rex number 7 joining me in person. Rex, I appreciate you, all the interviews over the years, and so glad you and I can come together in person. Really good to see you. Thank you.
Pleasure to get to meet you. Thank you so much, man.
You too. Golf Channel senior writer and the co-host of Morning Drive. He is Rex number 7, Rex Hoggard. We come back with a third and final hour. We are live at Torrey Pines.